Well, good morning. Let's begin our time with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you again for every truth that we discover in your word. Even as we learn about the matter of discipline today, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for directing our lives in a way that draws us closer to you. Speak again through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're back in the book of Hebrews, and in chapter 12, we're studying about discipline today. So far in our study in the book of Hebrews, we discovered this wonderful truth in the first 10 chapters, and the truth was simply that Jesus is superior in every way. And at the end of chapter 10, the writer to the book of Hebrews was writing to them and to us not to give up hope in Jesus, regardless of the difficulties we may be facing. So he reminds them that Jesus is superior, and at the end of chapter 10, he says this: don't ever forget those early days when you learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible sufferings. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten. Sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same thing. You suffered with those who were thrown in jail. When all you owned was taken away from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew you had better things waiting for you in eternity. Don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord, no matter what happens, he says. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and will not delay, and a righteous person will live by faith. So he ends chapter 11 with those phrase, the righteous person, with chapter 10 with that phrase, the righteous person will live by faith. And then in chapter 11, the writer to the book of Hebrews reminds us about what living by faith is all about. Now in chapter 12, he's picking up what he ended off in chapter 10 with, the fact that, folk, we face difficult times. Last week, we began to look at this subject as we looked at the first few verses of chapter 12, and we were given some tools to help us not grow weary and lose heart. So in the passage today, the writer to the book of Hebrews is reminding us that God's at work in us to make us more like Jesus. Friends, God wants us to be like Christ. He wants us to be a follower of the one who's superior in every way. I'm going to read from the first verse of chapter 12 again through to verse 13. Therefore, he says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord rebukes those he loves, and he punishes anyone he accepts as son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everybody undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame will not be disabled, but rather healed. Well, friends, as we look at this subject, that we're reminding ourselves that God is making us more like Jesus. The first thing I want you to notice is the first thing God does to make us more like Jesus is he reminds us of what Jesus saved us from facing. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. He says in verse 2, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men." Friends, we may be disciplined, but friends, we will never face what Jesus faced on our behalf. That's the first point the writer to the Hebrews is making. In making us more like Jesus, friends, let's never forget what Jesus did for us. He endured the cross, friends, so that you won't have to pay the penalty for your own sin. Jesus hung on a cross, friends, and took upon his shoulders the sins of this world, including yours, so that, friend, you don't have to pay that penalty. You don't have to spend eternity condemned in hell away from God, friends, because Jesus has paid the price. Friends, the writer to the Hebrews reminds us that it says he scorned its shame. Friends, Jesus faced rejection from God so we could be restored in fellowship with God. What a wonderful reality. Friends, Jesus has saved us. There was that incredible moment on the cross where Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Friends, we won't ever have to cry that out again. Friends, God has not abandoned us. He has made it possible so that we, friends, can have a relationship with our Father. And friends, Jesus suffered at the hands of sinful men. And friends, those sinful men are you and I. Yes, there were literal people that put Jesus on the cross. But friends, if we had been living on that day, we would have done the same. So friends, if we think we're going through a hard time, friends, even we put Christ on the cross. Let's not ever forget that. Friend, the first thing God does to make us more like Jesus is remind us of what Jesus faced or saved us from facing. Secondly, the second thing God does to make us more like Jesus, friends, is that he encourages us through discipline. Verse 5 says, "Have you forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons?" This is a verse out of the Proverbs. And the writer to the book of Hebrews is reminding us out of book of Proverbs that, friends, discipline is a good thing. Friends, God encourages us through discipline. So many times we think discipline, friends, is a bad thing and a negative thing. But friends, the writer to the Hebrews is telling us we go through hard times, we go through discipline, friends, because God wants to encourage us. He wants us to be more like Jesus. How can discipline be an encouragement? Let me give you a few ideas. Firstly, discipline, friends, is a sign of relationship. Verse 5 says, "Have you forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons? It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline.'" And verse 7 says, "God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everybody undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons." I just want to remind you of a truth here, friends. The word sons isn't always a generic thing for males. The word sons in the Bible talks about the one who receives the double blessing. The eldest son in the family was the one who received twice the portion of everybody else in the family. So oftentimes when the scriptures talk about the sons, it's talking about the one who's received the double portion. Now, I'm sure we've all been in the company of ill-disciplined children. I know as a school principal, my hand, as they say, often itches to put a naughty child over my knee and give them a good spanking. I know one of the biggest frustrations of teachers are the rules and regulations regarding disciplining disobedient learners in the school environment. Sadly, another frustration is the response from some parents when their children have been legitimately punished. They think the teacher's been unfair and they tell their kids that. It's so unfair. Of course, friends, we exercise discipline at our school. Not corporal punishment, obviously we're not allowed to do that. But we do exercise discipline. And friends, the simple reason is this. We want our learners to be the best they can. However, we don't go around disciplining every child we come across. When you see other children in the streets from other schools, we don't go and discipline them. If I see a child from my school or our school doing something naughty in the streets, I'll stop and give them a piece of my mind right there and there. Simply this, friends, we don't discipline other children because we're not invested in their lives or the lives of those children. But we are invested in the lives of the children who come to Telios. Friends, you see, discipline is a sign of relationship. I want Telios children to be the best because I have a relationship with them. I know them and they know me. And friends, the same is true of God with us. God disciplines those who has a relationship with, or who he wants to have a relationship with. Friends, if you don't want to have a relationship with God, well, that's your free will to do that. You can decide whether you want to follow him or not. But friends, he disciplines those he loves. Secondly, discipline is not only a sign of relationship, it's also a sign of love. Listen to verse 5. "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves." Now, I'm sure most people, and I include myself in that, who have been disciplined at some point in time, don't see discipline as a sign of love. I think most of us think of discipline as a sign of punishment. So how can discipline be a sign of love. Well, I want to give you 7 ideas. First of all, discipline sets boundaries. Boundaries, friends, are wonderful things. Children operate very well in the context of boundaries, friends. Because you see, without boundaries, we would be exposed to very dangerous situations. Boundaries, friends, are there to protect us. Why do we have rules of the road which nobody obeys? Well, we have them because we need boundaries. We can't have people riding wherever they want, doing whatever they like, although that seems to be the case so often. Friends, the rules of the road are there because there are boundaries as to what is good practice on the road and what is bad practice on the road. Discipline, friend, is a sign of love because it sets boundaries. Secondly, discipline is a sign of love, demonstrates consequence. Every action has a consequence, friends. However, if you constantly pushing the boundaries, you will suffer negative consequences at some time. I never forget an occasion many, many years ago when I was a teenager. We went fishing one night with my father. And we were riding around the back roads down to the next to the river. And a car went flying past us. Well, my father recognized the car as somebody that he knew. And he said to me, just mark my words. When we get around the corner sooner or later, that car's going to have had an accident. And no sooner had we gone around the next corner, friends, than that car was on its roof. So our fishing was curtailed as we had to put the car back on its roof and sort the people out who had had the accident. Because, friends, they were pushing the boundaries. The driver had drunk too much. He was pushing the speed limit too much. You see, friends, discipline is a sign of love because it demonstrates consequence. When you discipline somebody and they experience the consequences of breaking the law, they won't do it again. They'll realize it's there for their protection. Thirdly, discipline creates learning moments. Good discipline is not only punitive. The word punitive means punishment. We don't just punish people in discipline. Friends, good discipline should be redemptive. So, for example, in the past we used to put people in prison because we just wanted to lock them away. Now we put them into a correctional facility because while we're locking them up, the idea is not just to lock them up. The idea, friends, is to correct the bad behavior so when they come out of it, they'll stop doing it. Sadly, many of our correctional facilities have become breeding ground for further criminal activity. But actually, the purpose is to correct negative behavior. Fourthly, discipline is love because discipline builds endurance. See, friends, a successful athlete does not achieve the top without being pushed. God disciplines us to help us reach our goals. When we're pushing somebody, when we're driving somebody, when we're pushing them to be the best, friends, that's love. It may seem hard on a person as you're disciplining them, but friends, God wants the best for us. That's the love of discipline. Discipline expressing itself in love. Fifthly, discipline is love, or is a sign of love, because discipline encourages empathy. You see, when you face discipline, then you can come alongside those who are going through the same struggles. Friends, God never takes us through a difficult time without intending to use it in His ministry at some point in time. God wants us to build empathy. Discipline, friends, builds compassion. Sixthly, discipline is a sign of love because discipline develops responsibility. People have been raised to be motivated from within to help around the house or the school or the world at large, see the value in contributing to the whole rather than just thinking about their own needs all the time. Friends, discipline develops responsibility. It's a sign of God's love. He wants us to be effective, responsible people. And then finally, friends, a sign of God's love, discipline fosters respect for authority. We constantly need to be reminded who is God in our relationship with Him. Friends, when we think we can do our own way, God sometimes has to discipline us and remind us He's the boss. Friends, discipline fosters respect for authority. It's one of the great signs of love, friends. God loves us, friends, because He wants us to be the best that we can be. Thirdly, the third thing God does to make us more like Him is that He is changing us to be more like Jesus. It says this, God disciplines us for a little while. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good. What does that mean? Well, first of all, He disciplines for our good that we may share in His holiness. Friend, God wants to make us more like Him. Our fathers discipline us, and we think that's good. But friends, God wants us to be more like Him. The only way for us to enter the presence of God, friends, is to be holy. And now, while I know we enter the presence of God based on the holiness of Christ, we should nevertheless make every effort to seek to be holy as well. Friends, we have an imputed righteousness or holiness as well as a learned one. We are being sanctified day after day. 1 Peter 1 verse 14 to 16 says this, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy, because I am holy. See, friends, God's changing us to be like Jesus, God makes us more like Him. Friend, not only does He make us to be more like Him, God is helping us how to learn to live with others. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness. While holiness, friends, refers to this relationship, righteousness refers to this relationship. God disciplines us, friends, so that we learn how to live with others. Love one another is God's command to us. And if we don't know how to learn with each other, sometimes God has got to discipline us so that we learn how to live with each other. We need to be brought down a little bit so that we recognize we're not better than others. Thirdly, God helps us to live at peace with ourselves as He disciplines us. It's verse 11 carries on and says, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. See, friends, God is making us more like Jesus. He's making us more like Him in holiness. He's making us more like Him as we learn how to relate with each other. But friends, He's making us more like Him as we learn to live at peace with ourselves. One of the main reasons people rebel against God is they have no peace in their hearts. And God disciplines us so that we may have peace in our heart with Him. So, in conclusion, what must we do when we are faced with discipline? Well, there are six things for you to do. First of all, get rid of sin. Verse 1 says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Friends, when you're facing discipline, God may want you to get rid of some sin in your life. And that's the first thing that you can do. Secondly, remember, discipline is correction, not punishment. God has punished Christ for us, friends. So verse 5 says, don't forget the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. Friends, when God disciplines you, He's wanting to correct a behavior that needs to be corrected in your life. He's not punitive. God's not an angry old man in heaven wanting to hit you over the head. Friend, God wants to correct our behavior so that we may be more like Him. Thirdly, surrender to God. Verse 9 says, how much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Friends, when you're facing discipline, man, just let go and let God take over. Friends, fourthly, put on your big boy pants. If you're facing discipline, it says, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Sometimes you just got to face discipline with grit. Fifthly, don't repeat the same mistakes. It says, make level paths for your feet. Friends, sometimes we got to learn a lesson over and over and over and over again until we learn it. The message is clear. Make a level path for your feet. Don't go down the same road again and again. Friend, when God disciplines us, He wants the best for us. And finally, friends, again, the message is fix your eyes on Jesus. You see, the more we look to Jesus, friends, the more we look to this one who is superior in every way, the less we will desire to be like the world. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. If we do that, God won't have to discipline us, because we will want to be like Jesus in everything we do. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us for our sins. Thank You for the discipline You bring into our lives. Help us, Lord, to learn the lessons so that we don't repeat the same mistakes. And keep our focus on Jesus, Lord, so that He is our example in everything we do. For Your glory we pray that. Amen. Lord bless you as you fix your eyes on Jesus. Amen.